Vancouver Island, a land full of rich, diverse cultures where you will find hippies and rednecks at the same local brew pub, blue-collar and white-collar camping side-by-side at the lakes, and old and young and everyone in between with one thing in common, we love our island. Social media has brought about an unprecedented opportunity to discover new places to explore in the natural world around us. Today's guest, Dylan Benson, or Better With Adventure as he's known online, shares his stories of the profoundly positive impact the outdoors can have on all of our lives right here in the beauty of Vancouver Island. So I'm trying to think, Dylan, of the very first post that I ever saw of yours on Instagram. I don't know which one it was, but I know that it drew me in. And I think that that is kind of where this all starts, for me anyway. Today we've got Dylan Benson, Better With Adventure, on Instagram. On Facebook too? No, just Instagram.
Technically on Facebook, although I post much less there.
Yeah, I find that Instagram's just way more fun.
Absolutely.
I think you only joined Instagram like 2 years ago for the first time after holding out for about 10 years. It was like a bet almost with myself. It was like, how long could I last? And then when I got there, I was like, man, why did I take so long? This right. is way more fun. It's way more positive. There's way more, I don't know, it's just creativity that comes with that.
Yeah, I just like the visual aspect of it so much more. It's and this, I don't know, seems to be a lot less debate that goes on. You know, I think
totally.
Yeah, even when I post photos on Facebook groups now, like it can just spark a debate in the comments section, whether it be about, you know, like sharing the location of it or
yeah.
like it's just, yeah, I yeah. find that like on Instagram, it's like the very nice comments are just, hey, I really like this photo.
Yeah.
Thanks. Have a nice day and move on.
Totally. You know? It's like a culture of encouragement. And,
absolutely.
And there's something really special about that, having that attitude of gratitude. Like that's what people do. At least that's my experience, and
yeah.
especially my experience with you. So thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, it's absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be really fun to be able to talk about what the wilderness and what Vancouver Island means to you, because you're born and bred here?
Yeah, born in Victoria. That's right.
Yeah, born in Victoria. See, I'm actually born in Alberta, but my family all comes from this area. So,
you bet.
Yeah, but, well, no, that's awesome. So, I mean, we've got so many things that we could start talking about. But I'd love to hear just a little bit about yourself and your connection to the island. Why here? Why have you stayed here?
I've stayed here because it's, I was born in Victoria. I grew up here. I lived here until I moved to England for a little while in my early 20s. Mm. And although I was in Northwest London and living and working in some pubs there, and they have a show there. It's called A Place in the Sun, where they show people who live in England, they show them vacation destinations and okay. spots where you could go and buy a home for a, you know, a cottage away from home or whatever. And one of the episodes featured houses on Vancouver Island.
Mm.
And so I'm working at the pub and the people that work there were like, hey, it's like, isn't that where you live? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Right. And I was like,
this
yeah,
exotic
you're
island
not wrong,
in the Pacific.
You know, it's like, this, yeah, it's pretty silly that I'm sitting here and I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm working 6 days a week in two pubs and I could be back at home. And it was, you know, definitely part of the reason that I came back home. Living in Victoria, it's, you know, it's a beautiful city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything's very accessible there. It's a 15-minute drive pretty much anywhere. And of course, being surrounded by the ocean.
On like every front. Like,
yeah,
it's so neat.
It's yeah, it's really you're 20 minutes away from the ocean in every direction. And, you know, I grew up in James Bay in Victoria where we were, you know, a 5-minute walk from the ocean. And Dallas Road in Victoria is a, you know, very famous spot, the breakwater in Victoria. So I used to go for walks there as a teenager growing up. You know, I don't know that I took it for granted because we went there a lot.
Sure.
You know, as I got into my 20s, I started just really realizing what a great place it was. And I never really had an inclination to leave, to go anywhere else. In my 30s, I really started getting outdoors more. And it became very apparent just how much beauty was surrounding me. I had gone up to the trestle at Goldstream. That was one of the spots my aunt took me from the age of 5 or 6. And so we went up there a lot when I was a kid. I think there was a time when I was about 5 where we were walking on the trestle, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the highest train trestle in Canada.
I'll take your word for it. That sounds good.
Yeah. I think it's about 300 feet. When I was a kid, one of my legs fell through the tracks. And I mean, technically my year old, like even as a child, I mean, the gaps in between the track, it's not really big enough to fall through, but certainly big enough to scare you.
Absolutely.
But, you know, kind of one of my legs fell through, but my body just, you know, landed on the tracks and my aunt just picked me up. And, you know, from then on, I realized like, you can't really fall through here. And so, even though lots of times for people who are afraid of heights, that like people, I know people that I've been with that won't cross the tracks because they're like, this is really high up. But I was just kind of felt safe there. Mm. And the hike up there was always beautiful. And when I started getting out more, I realized that, like my only hiking was to go up to the trestle. I hadn't really done any hiking anywhere else. And so starting to get out more, I went on a hike to Isuk Park when I was, I guess, 34. So 5 years ago, that's when I really started getting outside. Mm. I went to Isuk Park during sunset. The waves were crashing everywhere. And I was really like, I can't believe all of this has just been here this whole time and I haven't been exploring it.
Right.
And so that for me was the trigger to just start doing it and just get outside a lot. And like, what have I been missing out on this whole time? I've been, you know, enjoying beautiful Victoria, but I haven't been seeing what's beyond here. And so I started looking up photos of like, where are other places that I could go? Mm-hmm. And just now I want to go there and I want to see it. I do that now when people, you know, I'm grateful for when people share the locations of places because, you know, obviously anywhere I go, I'm going to be respectful of, you know, the nature that's there. Mm. And so when people post photos, I mean, yeah, I want to go and take my own photo of it from my perspective. But really, when you see a beautiful spot, pictures are great and a lot of people are happy to just scroll through and see the photos and continue going on. But if I find out that it's somewhere that's accessible, I'm going to go check it out. And so now I've done a lot of exploring.
That's awesome.
Nowhere close to you. From listening to your podcast, seeing your photos and reading your stories.
We're off the road,
You know, I think that, one of the things about me is that most of the photos that I post, almost everywhere I go is a provincial or municipal park. Mm-hmm. And so I don't worry too much about sharing locations because it's all places that are made for the foot traffic and whatnot. Totally. But as I start to get more involved with seeing these photos and trying to find places I haven't been, especially in the northern part of Vancouver Island, there's so many spots that are like, yeah, if you could get on that logging road and you could go, there's incredible spots here.
Absolutely. I think that there's like, I don't want to be the two groups of people guy because, you know, there's always that two groups. There's two groups of people in the world. Well, in this case, maybe. I think that there's two groups of people who love to experience the outdoors. And I think that one is the people that you are making a great platform to reach because they're accessible locations. Every single one of them. And that's what I found fascinating is like following what you were doing, the pictures you were taking and places you were going. It's like, I could take my kids to all of these locations and anyone else could. And they're accessible provincial municipal parks, which is great. And then there's kind of that other group of people that's like those places that are nearly unreachable and we might almost die trying to get to. And there's some tension there, right? Like you don't want to necessarily go and do that and start doing that in a way that's going to harm you or the people that you're doing that with. But a great way to experience is what you're doing.
Yeah, I think that, for me, so my son Ivor is 7 and a half. And, because my wife passed away when he was born, I was, solo a lot with him. But I wanted to get out and enjoy nature. And so finding places that were accessible was super important to me, because I wasn't, and I hadn't been an avid outdoorsman. I didn't have a lot of hiking experience. It was like, where can I walk with a baby on my back?
Totally.
And then, where is safe when he wasn't in the carrier anymore? Like, where is safe that we can go and start building those, creating memories together? And so, I would say 95% of the photos that I post, like, Ivor is right there by my side in the mm-hmm. photos. Mm-hmm. And so it's great to be able to share that with him. And I have people who message me and will say, oh, hey, where did you go to this place? And is it kid friendly? Mm. And my answer is almost always yes. Like, yeah. Here's the location and it's kid friendly. And often people will go to those places with their family and then tag me and say, oh, thanks, Better With Adventure. I didn't know about this place. And here's a photo of me and my family at this place. And to me, that's a wonderful feeling.
Oh, absolutely. And again, one of the things I think that inspired me to follow what you're doing in your story was that we have got four boys, like, and so we are always looking for different opportunities and places to go. But what I loved was that, because we've got younger ones, I'm not necessarily taking them all into the backcountry yet. I'm going to be doing that as they grow older, and I love that. But we want to bring them to places that are accessible, that are safe. And I think what struck me the most is living here my entire life, loving the outdoors, being an avid outdoors person, and then learning so much from these places that you were going is like, man, I thought I knew this place.
Right.
There's just so much here. Like, when I was doing the research for the last episode, I was looking at, individual provincial campsites, 5,800. That's insane.
That is insane.
Like, that's insane. Like, you're kind of alluding a little bit to that competitive nature people have with, like, oh, this is our secret spot. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to tell anybody where it is. But if there's 5,800 different places families can go and camping, and that's not even just the trails, like,
right.
And almost every single one of the sites, like, obviously that's not like an entire site, like, that's individual sites, it has a number. But there's trails connected with every single one of them,
mm-hmm.
with little waterfalls and different places you can go, and little lookouts, right? Like, really achievable places. So I guess part of the motivation from what I'm getting for you is, like, for Ivor, like, wanting to do that and having that opportunity. What about for yourself personally? Like, why did you gravitate towards the outdoors for you?
So after my wife passed, I got... I was into depression quite hard. It was hard to be a grieving father, because at the same time, like, when you have a child and it's a baby, you need to be on your A game as a parent, especially when it's just you doing it.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to do that when you're crying all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that was just one of the methods that I used to stop myself from crying was to give myself a mission to go and check a place out.
Sure.
And so, when it was like, okay, I'd been to East Souk, and now let's go back to Goldstream, because I know that's a hike that I can do with a kid on my back.
With good memories attached to it, right?
Yeah. And then starting to get out more and see those places with Ivor on my back, we were making memories, and, I'm sure I've got 20,000 photos of Ivor and I doing different stuff now.
He's well documented.
Yeah. Right. And, but taking him to those places, and, I know, obviously in the younger years, he won't remember a lot of those, but I'll remember that I took him there. And so it gave me a lot of satisfaction. And, I had a relationship, when Ivor was two, I started seeing somebody, and it ended up not working out, and we broke up, almost 3 years ago. And, at that point we'd had a child together. And so I had, the breakup was a surprise to me. And so when, like, I felt like my family had fallen apart, I was not going to be living with one of my children. My boys weren't going to be spending all their time together.
Totally, yeah.
And I thought that I had, had this second chance at love, but, we had broken up several times over the 3 years that we were together. But when it really fell apart and it was clear we weren't going to get back together, it was very difficult. I had checked myself into the hospital for mental health. Mm. I had nothing left in me. I thought I'm a failure as a father and a person. And then one day it just clicked. I just said, like, I can't be like this. I need to be the best father I can be. Mm. And so I just said, what can I do for myself so that I can be a better parent? And so I was living with my parents at the time. And so I said to my mom, like, do you mind watching Ivor? Like, and I'm, you know, after work or whatever, I'm going to start just walking. Mm. And I set a goal for myself of 20,000 steps a day.
Wow. That's no small feat.
So, right. And so I would walk to work. I would walk home from work, and then I would, you know, put Ivor to bed, and then I would go and walk some more. Mm. And then on weekends I would plan adventures and I would just crush it. Mm. Doing that adventuring was what got me through it. Mm. Like, there's no question in my mind that it literally saved my life. Mm. I didn't have the will to be here for a very short period of time. But when I decided to, that I just flicked a switch and just said, like, this is what I'm going to do. And that's when I started my Better With Adventure account. Mm. I just was like, I'm going to start documenting all the beautiful stuff that I see so that I can, you know, I can share this with others, because, like, there's so many great places here. But just for myself, as part of documenting this journey of recovery, really, and just, you know, getting myself out of an anxious and depression state. Yeah. And so I'm just going to do it and document it and just keep going. And I haven't stopped.
That's awesome. So, so awesome. I was trying to think of when I was thinking of last year when everything, you know, hit the fan and it was crazy. Beginning of March, the first thing that I did is I told my wife, I said, I think I need to go just be somewhere. And I didn't know where. And so I just decided to drive, and I love the outdoors. I love being out there. And I spent like 10 hours just in the middle of the wilderness, walking through these trees, walking through this, just trying to process, you know, we were losing everything. Everything was starting to get shut down, and it's nothing in comparison to what you just shared. But the piece that's relatable for me is that it was a place of healing for me, that going into the wilderness, going into the bush, going into this, the incredible places around us, was something truly profound. And I can still remember, like, every step walking through that and what it felt like, what it smelt like, what it was to be able to be connected in that way. And it is tangible and beautiful. And so what a neat tool and an incredible tool that you've tapped into. And I think that's absolutely, you know, phenomenal that you've done that, and not only done that, but then wanted to pass that on, which I think is beautiful, like, really well done.
Thanks.
So for the photography side, I wanted to kind of switch gears a little bit with that. Is that something that was always a part of your life? Was it something that you saw as a venue to be able to tell your story? Like, how did that work?
Yeah, I would say the photography side of things, for nature photography, wasn't a part of my life really at all. And it's because I didn't really used to take a lot of photos, of people even. One of my big regrets is that I don't have a lot of photos of Robin, my late wife, because I didn't take a lot. I probably have 100 or so. Because of course she passed in 2014. Facebook was just kind of starting out. And so I have whatever she posted online and stuff like that. And of course her family's got some photos, but I don't have a lot that I took. And so when Ivor was born, I just went gung-ho taking photos of him. But I never really was one for taking shots outside. And then, and of course, I never had a camera. And so phones, until somewhat recently, just didn't have it. They just didn't have, right? Like,
you knew, like, when a picture was taken with a DSLR. Yeah, right.
And you're like, I mean, you took this photo with a potato.
Yeah.
And so now since whatever, the iPhone 6 probably, it's been reasonable to take and post a photo that was taken with a phone. And so with that accessibility and my adventuring, that's when I thought, like, I'm just going to start documenting this. Because when I created the Better With Adventure account, I was like, what will I post, like, as the first few posts to, like, start an Instagram account? Mm-hmm. And so I went through and looked at how many nature shots I had. And, it was a handful. Mm. And, you know, like now when I look back on them, I mean, they were, you know, like my eye for photography wasn't as whatever developed as it is now.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's kind of, I haven't looked back to see what my first few posts were, but
those will be the only ones I'm going to share. Like, he's really good, I promise.
I'm sure they're, you know, they're not great, but you got to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
And so as I've gone on, because I use an iPhone X XR.
Okay.
I'm hoping to upgrade sometime soon, but yeah, I take all of my photos with a phone and I don't spend typically more than 5 minutes editing them. My goal with my photos is just to, I want it to look as natural as possible. Mm. And so I never crank up the saturation. I haven't touched the knob on an HDR like setting.
Yeah, yeah.
'Cause for me, when I, you know, as I mentioned earlier, when I see photos, I want to go and I want to see that, what I've seen. And so I find there's sometimes where I see photos posted and then you go somewhere and it's like, it doesn't look like this at all.
No, that's not what that place looked like.
like holy bananas, it looked great in that photo, but like there's no way I could replicate that at all. And so I want...
Not even in the right place, I'm convinced.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, I want people who might go to where I've been based on my photo, I want them to see as close to what they're going to see in real life. And so... I try not to touch my photos very much. Like I said, I don't spend more than 5 minutes on it. I use an app called Snapseed as well as the default editor in the iPhone, and that's it.
Wow.
And so
I find that phenomenal because like having looked at all of your different pictures and stuff, like you spoke to it a little bit, like having an eye for it is clearly something you have, like you just do.
Thank you.
But beautiful stuff. Like absolutely beautiful stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess if I had a tip to give, so I edit them in the default editor first, and really I try to not touch the saturation at all. I've not once ever touched the exposure on a photo. So just brilliance, highlights, and structure and contrast. Really, that's it. And then I'll put it through Snapseed. And all I do there is I find a few focus points in it and I just increase the structure on a few different spots. And that's pretty much all I ever do.
That's awesome.
And I mean, it's great now because, I mean, phones can take great photos. I used to have people say, you know, you should sell your photos. Mm. Especially when so many of my photos were in Victoria, people would be like, you should be in the Causeway, in the Inner Harbor in Victoria in the summer, selling these to tourists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just didn't have the confidence to do it. I thought like, you know, like my photos aren't great. Nobody would buy these. Mm. And so my fiance, Mariko, has a site called I The Collective where she sells... it's basically a bunch of local artisans that sell their products on her site. Mm-hmm. And so
also on Instagram, right?
Isla Collective. And when we started seeing each other, about a month into it, you know, she had said you should sell these photos. And again, I thought like, I just didn't have the confidence that anything would happen. And so she said, well, what if I just put a few on my site? And so I was like, I mean, are you sure? And so she just put three of them on. And, you know, it was about 3 weeks later, I was working full-time in Victoria, but living in Nanaimo. Mm. And so making the commute every day. And so I was driving back to Nanaimo after work one day, and she called and said, babe, you sold your first print.
Nice.
And it was like, oh my God, are you kidding? I mean, now I've had people order them as presents for other people and blown them up on canvases that are, you know, as big as a television. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to me. I mean, that the feeling that somebody else thinks one of my photos is good enough to put in their home or give us a gift is incredible. And you can't, I mean, you can do that with a phone now.
Yeah.
I would love to get a real camera. The thought of it is kind of overwhelming because I realize like, you know, I have so much respect for actual, quote unquote, actual photographers who use a real camera and spend, you know, countless hours processing the photos, because I know the time and effort that goes into that.
Oh, totally.
It's a real passion. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be prepared to spend the money on the gear and then spend the money on the editing and all of that.
Right? Like that thing's a full on computer all by itself.
Yeah, that's amazing. Right. And so, you know, for me with, you know, just working with the tools that I have, you know, it works out pretty well. And, it was a hobby that's turned into a passion, and, you know, and I've been able to sell, you know, I don't know, maybe 100 prints now.
That's awesome.
So it's pretty great.
I love that. And I think that the part that I like about that one too is how accessible that is to other people. When I heard you made it in one of your posts and you'd said something along the lines of do the phone, I was like, wait, what? No. I read that wrong. There's no way. And then I looked through and I read through. It's like, you take all of these with your phone? Like, again, like, it's just, there's something, I'd be sad if you got a DSLR, man. Like, it's just, there's something magic about what you're doing, because there's a connection point to everybody where they can have that opportunity. Now, are they going to take the same shots? No, you have an innate gifting. I really believe you do. So if you've got that, you can at least pass on some of those tools. And like you're saying, you've got these different programs and stuff, which is great.
Yeah, I think that it is accessible to everybody now. I think that when you're going out, like for me, I guess the only other thing that if you're the type of person who wants to post your photos on Instagram and is looking to have them seen by more people, I've done a lot of research because I have two jobs that are on Instagram in addition to my own page. Posting photos in portrait mode as opposed to just the standard default square that Instagram does, or landscape mode. If you post them in portrait mode, from lots of the studies that I've seen, they just perform better. And so I pretty much only shoot that way now. But the accessibility of it is part that I really like. I like that I can go somewhere and take the shot, edit it for 5 minutes, and then post it. You know, I went to Little Mountain before I came here, just outside of Parksville there.
I knew you were going to go somewhere this weekend. I was going to ask
because you're always going somewhere. I've seen a lot of photos there and I had never been. And then when I found out that you can actually just drive up to the top of the mountain, that like, and then you take about 35 steps and you're at the top of the mountain.
Oh man.
That's it.
I got to tell my wife, she's going to love that.
Yeah. I would say, so I went solo today. And I would caution anybody who's going to go that it's probably maybe not the best place for children or pets because 35 steps to the mountainside, but then it's a steep cliff.
There's a lot of exposure.
So be cautious if you go for sure. But, I love that I could go do that and then show up here 10 minutes early and quickly edit and post that photo. And then it's just out there. I went on my adventure. That's done. And I love that, you know, anybody who sees that knows that, like, I took that today. Like, it's super misty out right now and you'll see that in the photo. And that was definitely, I was there. I took that today.
The stamp of approval. I always feel that moment of regret when you don't post a picture and you're like, and it's like this now. And you're like, well, obviously it wasn't taken today. You know, it's one thing when it's that complete opposite thing where you're doing like a winter photo in the middle of summer or something, or, you know, or you're doing like a fall thing in the spring or whatever. But yeah, you're kind of busted. You mentioned two companies that you work for specifically online or on Instagram or just.
Yeah. So I work for the GTFO company, which is it's a clothing brand based out of Alberta. GTFO stands for Get the Outside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can change that to Get the Family Outside if you like, or the Friends Outside.
I like to get the friends and get the family. Yeah, that's how I get
the furball outside if you like.
Yeah, there you go. It's very transferable.
Yeah, they have dog bandanas.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, and so they're a mental health company. They're a clothing company, but their focus is mental health. Mm. So they give back to mental health organizations. They also protect grizzly bears in Alberta.
Nice.
And so I've been working for them doing marketing and basically all of their Instagram posts as well as their advertisements. I've been doing that since about February or March. I've got a decade of marketing experience. And so I used to do affiliate management and affiliate marketing, affiliate recruitment. And then I did media buying. So I bought ads on behalf of companies like Apple and Home Depot and things like that. And so I've placed a lot of ads out there. Mm. And so I've got a lot of experience doing that. And when I came across the GTFO company, I had had, so at the time, I think that was back in January, February, I probably had about 5,000 followers on Instagram. And, you know, I had grown it from 800 to 5,000 between October and January.
Wow.
It's like today, you know, is the middle of September. So when I met Mariko October 5th of last year, I had 792 followers. And today I'm almost, you know, 11,100. So
amazing.
So I used that experience, you know, when I was at 5,000 followers, I started getting a lot of, I don't know, for the lack of a better term, there's spam offers
from
companies. They just
promote on this.
So they send you a DM that's like, hey, have you heard of our products before? Mm. And then you say no. And then they ask you to go to their website.
Yeah.
And then they say, tell us which product you like. And you go, I like this shirt. That's cool.
Yeah.
And then they go, how about we give you 25% off? And I'm like, I mean,
cool.
Like, I mean, I don't really need a shirt, right? Like, so like, I don't need to save money on a shirt I wasn't going to buy.
Exactly. It's still 75% more than I was going to spend.
Yeah. And so when I started, you know, I had a conversation with somebody else on Instagram who I guess I consider to be an influencer. There's somebody who their full-time job is on Instagram. And so I had a chat with them and realized that like 5,000 was about the number where you can start just going like, I'm not even going to reply to these offers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I heard it from GTFO company, I looked them up and I saw what they were about, and they were about getting outside for your mental health. And with my handle being Better With Adventure and theirs being Get Outside, I was like, this is a match made in heaven.
Totally.
And so the founder of that company, him and I chatted for a couple of weeks, and then he said, you know, what would you think about helping out by doing the Instagram post for us for a week whilst I'm away? We're going to take a vacation. I need a mental break. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And then he said, like, and would you do it full time if we wanted you to? Like, would you take that on? And I said, absolutely. And so he made a very vulnerable post saying, hey, I'm going to kind of hand the reins over to Dylan to make posts for this company because I need a break from my mental health. I thought, you know, like, how inspirational is that?
Oh, totally.
That he's leading by example. And Curtis just, you know, saying, hey, I need to take a break. And here we go. And so so I just went with it and just was like, here's my introductory post about myself. And then, of course, they sent me clothes and I just took it on. And then at the time, they had probably just under 100 ambassadors that, you know, were getting purchasing clothes from the GTFO company and posting their photos. And some of those ambassadors would start telling their own story. And so it was an honor to be able to share that. And so through working with the GTFO company, we've got almost 700 ambassadors now from, you know, from February till now. And so there's a lot of stories to share from people who are finding the benefits of getting outside and how it helps their mental health.
Oh, absolutely. And great stories. Like you said, like I think that I've connected with a lot of people just hearing their story and watching them through whatever it is that they're posting about in their own mental health journey, but their connection with the outdoors. Such a great idea. Like it's one of those things you're like, that would be a really good idea if we did that, but they're doing it.
Yeah. And I think that's the difference. Because I've seen other companies try to grow an ambassador program in that kind of like, we'll send you a spammy message type thing. And I think the reason that it works for the GTFO company is because there's a brand story there. And it's not just, hey, buy our clothes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's great that they even have clothes. But realistically, it's about that message. And when we've had, you know, posts by those ambassadors, and then I've seen comments from those ambassadors' family members that had no idea that their family member was going through a mental health struggle.
Oh, wow.
Right. Okay, and so they I saw Logan made a post today from like on behalf of your company.
Mm.
We had no idea. Mm-hmm. We had no idea he was struggling. And then well, I haven't told him, but I'm also struggling. Mm-hmm. I'd love to become an ambassador for your company. And then so that's two family members that are both struggling that weren't talking about it.
Mm.
And, you know, part of the GTFO company's mission is to end the silence and the stigma surrounding mental health. And so to know that, you know, like we're starting that conversation between strangers and family members and beyond. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of.
Totally. And a beautiful opportunity for that communication to only grow. And I love using that venue of doing that outside. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I do that. And I've recently started helping do some curation for Cascadia Explored.
Amazing stuff.
So I just basically send them some photos from other people to help post. So I just kind of go out and I hunt for the best photos from the Pacific Northwest taken by other photographers and then
stunning stuff.
Yeah. So they've got 286,000 followers. That account's been going for 7 years on Instagram. And the owner of it is just really passionate about that. And also has a mission about giving back to those communities. So far the site hasn't, like the page hasn't really been monetized in any way. Mm. So it's just been so far spreading the beauty of it. Mm. But there's, you know, he's got plans to help to give back to those communities and, you know, the firefighters in those communities and things of that nature. And so
finding those connection points to the community.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's an honor to help with that. And it helps kind of also spread the word about my Instagram page, which is, as somebody who's working on continually growing my page, having it mentioned, 5 times a week by a page with 286,000 followers, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite term for it is cross pollination.
Yeah.
And those, right. Those that know me best know I overuse that word way too much, but it's true. It is. There's a really neat aspect to that community, which is again, what drew me to, I think, Instagram after a while. I was like, this is really neat that people actually do that. And that there's a small community. My wife, she has an eyelash extension business here in the Comox Valley. And that's how she got started, you know, online. She found all these other people and made, you know, there was a whole community of people that were all entrepreneurs. They were all building their businesses. And so they support each other and they build it up. And it's so neat to see that happening for mental health. Because I think growing up, that was such a taboo thing, especially like in circles that I grew up with. It wasn't really something that you ever heard. Looking back, you're like, oh, okay, I can pinpoint all of these moments in your life and your life and your life and your life that you're probably having a mental breakdown. But we didn't talk about it. And now there's this transparency that happens that you and your and others like you are bringing that conversation home, which awesome.
Thanks. Yeah. So when I was in the relationship that didn't work out, after Robin passed, my partner at the time wasn't really comfortable with me talking about Robin and about the grief. Mm. So I didn't really get a chance to grieve and I didn't get a chance to talk about it. And if I wanted to even make a post to celebrate Robin's birthday, I had to kind of get clearance on what words I put in the post and what photo I used. Mm. So that didn't really help with my grieving process.
Yeah.
And so when I met my fiance Mariko, she was aware of the story of Ivor and Robin. And she just wasn't insecure about it. And so she was like, yeah, like you talk a lot about mental health and, you know, like you should know that you can feel free to share that. And so I've started doing that. And, the impact that it's had has been pretty incredible. There's one that really stands out for me, which is back in February, I made a post super vulnerable. Let's talk about mental health and suicide and just taking it things one day at a time. Mm. And it's a woman named Shannon who lives in Victoria. And she commented on my post and kind of like, I needed this today. And the indication from her comment was just that like she wasn't really doing okay. Mm. And so I a day or two later, I sent her a direct message and just said like, hey, are you doing okay? Mm. And she kind of wasn't. Mm. But she was so grateful that she said the post really resonated with her. And then the fact that I checked up on her with, you know, we had never interacted in any way before, it really somehow for her that just struck a chord and changed things for her. Mm. And she has since become an ambassador for the GTFO company. Oh, I've awesome. Seen her post like very vulnerable posts and talked about the depression that she has gone through. And I've seen people comment on her posts that they weren't aware she was doing it, or that they're so proud of, you know, her for talking about those issues. Mm. And she recently purchased a print of mine, and so I got to go and hand deliver it to her and, you know, give her a big hug. So it kind of came full circle. Mm. And just those types of connections that come from the openness of talking about, you know, mental health and the fact that it's okay to not be okay. You know, there's some amazing connections, and the messages that I've received personally and that we've received on the GTFO company, just as a thank you for being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing. And to know that even just one post can make an impact on somebody else's life, it's, you know, a major reason why I continue to feel free to talk about these things, because it can have an impact and you can change someone's life from it.
Totally. Creating that space and that opportunity, right, for that conversation to happen. And I think that's fantastic. You guys have been doing that. So time flies. Yeah. We're already like wrapping up slowly here. But obviously people could follow you at Better It With Adventure. Better With Adventure. GTFO. Is it GTFO Company?
Yeah, it's the GTFO Company. We're also, Mariko and I have recently started a YouTube channel,
which is Better With... Talk about it.
Yeah. We are Better With Bensons on YouTube. And so we've made 7 episodes so far. And I think that one of the things that I really enjoy about it is that, you know, we're kind of documenting the memories that we're making together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mariko and I have been together for 11 months now and blending our families. So there's a lot of intricacies that come with that, with kind of two, you know, like by birth order only children. Mariko and I were engaged after 3 weeks and moved in together after 4 weeks. And so there's just a lot that goes on with it. And it's nice to, you know, we have the avenue where we can probably share some stuff that we don't necessarily share on Instagram, because, you know, for Mariko is, you know, she's about supporting local and feminist empowerment and things of that nature.
She's fierce, man.
She is.
She's amazing.
You know, and I, you know, I love all the stuff that she does on Instagram, but she has, that's her, you know, that's her brand. And my brand, I suppose, is just about nature photography and mental health.
Yeah.
And so, and of course, family, I don't really post too many photos of my kids and stuff like that on this Instagram. So it's nice to have another avenue to do it. And so, yeah, we're 7 episodes in now and almost 260 followers on there. And so
it's just awesome. And it's super fun. Like, you get to go to all these different places, and, you know, you're in Myra Falls, and you were going, where was the last? Yeah, the hole in the wall down in Port Alberni.
Yeah. So it's great. We are still learning. As I was saying to you, it's the editing process will take some time, and we will undoubtedly have to get a Mac and get some actual cameras. Yeah. But yeah, for now, that's a fun adventure. So you can find us Better With Bensons on YouTube. I'm Better With Adventure on Instagram. The GTFO Company on Instagram as well for clothing and mental health. Anywhere else that you might see Better With Adventure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll connect in Mariko's stuff too with Isla Collective in there as well too, because it's great stuff too, having that local flavor of different businesses and stuff. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, during the pandemic, a lot of the vendors that she works with were people that pretty much only sold their locally handmade products at physical markets.
Right.
And so
that was stripped away.
So when COVID hit, that's when Mariko had just kind of started that. And so she's got about 70 vendors on there now. And, you know, of course, they still sell separately and whatnot, but there's a real homegrown feel to it. And, you know, over Christmas of last year, we hand delivered, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of items to different people. And, you know, it's great to be able to really feel like you're supporting local.
I love it. Better With Adventure, bringing people together. You guys are awesome.
Thanks.
Well, thanks so much for spending the time and being able to talk about your impact on the island, the island's impact on you. I think that there's a reciprocal relationship there that's pretty neat to watch. And so if you get the chance, go and follow Dylan. Go check him out on Instagram and follow along with the story and the rest of the companies and things that you're involved with. Thanks so much for your time, man.
Thank you, Benj.
All right. We'll see you.